Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
You're all very, very welcome back. Now, with any luck, you'll have spent some time with friends and family this Christmas, reminiscing about old times and catching up on their news. And we'll all have that friend or family member who comes with the best stories, the best gossip told with maximum flair and drama. But what about that one person whose drama is never-ending and who leaves you feeling frankly drained? Well, chartered behavioural psychologist at changeable.ie, Pádraig Walsh, is here to help us with the drama addicts in our lives. Good afternoon, Pádraig.
Good afternoon, Gerbil.
Listen, let's start with a bit of gossip. Do you like a bit of gossip yourself?
Well, come here until I tell you. If you are going to any house, as Susie Dent called this, Susie Dent from Countdown called this the millennium, that useless period between Christmas and New Year's. If you're going to any house around the Christmas period, you're either bringing a present or a selection box or a bit of gossip. Now, it's too late for a present at this time of year, and people will probably turn you away because they've just had their fill of chocolate. So what's the one commodity that people are going to value as you go visiting house to house? It's a little bit of gossip.
And look, gossip has, it's a word that you can unpack a lot. It has good connotations and it has bad connotations. At its best, it's all about connection.
Yeah. During COVID, you asked me, did I like a bit of gossip? And it was funny. I wouldn't think of myself as a gossiper, but I would have thought a few months in, I was like, what am I missing here? You know, where you had pubs and cafes and sports clubs and you couldn't visit people's houses. I missed that group of friends where you could get together and just talk nonsense. And there was that kind of collective understanding that this is just a bit of fun. We're sharing stories. You know, those groups that don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. And those are really important for us for connection at that period of time. But gossip has evolved. We can blame...
But that's human connection. That's stories and that's animation. And we probably add a few legs to stories when we meet at big emotional times at Christmas. But I'm always kind of thinking sometimes if you're gossiping about someone, will they gossip about you in return? Is there sort of a negative kind of twist to
Well,
it?
We can blame our ancestors. Let's go back for evolutionary, like go back generations to even to hunter-gatherers. As human beings, we're social species. That's why we survived. That's one of the key reasons that the human species has survived and thrived. And the human that can build social connections was embedded into larger tribes, larger groups. So they had a greater survival rate. So that ability to be socially connected is important.
So there's a physiological and a psychological need for that.
Very much so. We can blame the caveman. Now, fast forward to present day and the WHO, the World Health Organization, will say that, you know, having meaningful social connections are vital for health and well-being in later life. So if you have somebody who's being dramatic in a WhatsApp group or somebody who's always bringing the drama, perhaps what they're trying to do is add on a few extra years to their life.
Maybe, or maybe they're draining a few years away from the others. Because there is a point at which, you know, sometimes some people just seem to be involved in never-ending drama or are attracted to it or love talking about it. And that can be very intrusive and a huge turn-off for people.
Now, gossip, one of the key things to understand about this is that it's not just about having that relationship. It's a meaningful relationship. And a relationship that relies solely on drama and gossip can be unhealthy. And you mentioned at the start that you're often questioning, well, if this person is saying, speaking ill of others, or if they're coming with, you know, gossip about another person, what are they saying about me when I'm not around? And that can be hugely draining and very, very damaging. Like, one of the interesting things about gossip is that it's present across cultures. So although even in the green room before this, I was talking to somebody from the Netherlands and they said, you Irish just love to tell stories. And it invariably turns into gossip and sharing of information. But it is present. When it's studied, the research will tell us that it's present across cultures and across generations.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we spent most of Christmas doing the annual births, deaths, the marriages, engagements, breakups, the whole lot. Does trading, though, in gossip, does it undermine or add to the trust that we have together? Or is it both?
It's a little bit of both. It can be really harmful and intrusive. And I think when you look at the rules of small talk, just small talk in general, because a lot of us will be engaged in small talk with acquaintances or, you know, in-laws of in-laws or people that we don't know around this social period, there are certain rules that we have where we're trying to maintain some sort of respect and decorum.
Is it fair? Is it true? Is it kind?
Completely. Those are really important things. And if you're trying to play it safe, you're talking about, you're avoiding things like religion, politics and people that we know, discussing those. And you're kind of leaning towards general weather, sport, current affairs, celebrity at most. But, you know, you have people who will rely very much on that negative gossip, that it's almost like the Germans will call it Schadenfreude, where they will thrive in the misfortune of others and it becomes pervasive. And usually I'm really interested, obviously as a behavioral psychologist, I'm interested in why we behave in particular ways or why people lean towards drama. And it's very much framed and shaped by the feedback that we get. Like when I said to you at the start of this segment, come here until I tell you.
I leaned in.
You leaned forward and people do, because the word emotion, when we add emotion into a conversation, the word emotion is taken up of two words. The motion part being it moves us. You physically moved towards me. Now for me, that feedback is very strong. I could say to you.
But what if it's a negative feedback?
Correct. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. At that point in time, you have moved and I have moved you. And there is feedback coming my way that somebody is listening a little bit closer to what I have to say. Whether it's good or bad becomes the nuance within this. But in terms of it reinforcing that human behavior or the way that I frame a story, because you ask about drama, then it becomes something that almost fulfills that feedback loop. Let me give you an example. If I said to you, the price of spuds has gone up by 20 cents, Derval, you go, okay, that's great, fine. But if I turned around and I said to you, come here until I tell you, Derval, you'll never guess what they've done. They have done, and they've done it time and time again. The price of spuds has gone up 20 cents. Now, do you know why? And it starts to bring in that emotion. It starts to, from your perspective as the listener, you almost feel an obligation to give your full attention to somebody who is so animated about that story.
Because they are literally drawing you in.
Or draining you.
Or draining you.
Depending upon the context.
Can we talk about this phrase, drama addicts, you know, because there's a lot of sort of hackneyed phrases out there. And some people might naturally just have a flair for the dramatic, where it's positive or negative. And then there are some people who are more, if it were a spectrum, are more on a serious scale of it. So what are the telltale signs from a behavioural, you know, perspective?
Yeah, so it's one of the most common personality test out there is called the Big Five. And it takes five different elements of our personality. It looks at things like extroversion, openness to experience. But one of them is neuroticism, that stability, that ability to manage one's own emotions or that ability to manage drama. So it is identified as one of the top five personality traits that needs to be measured. First off, when we talk about like the impact that it has, there are lots of different terms. I did a segment earlier this year on the 6 o'clock show about sad fishing, a term I'd never heard of before.
What is sad fishing?
Sad fishing is putting emotional, not emotional words. You know that those posts that go out on social media that almost require that, are you okay, hon, kind of response?
Yeah.
There's no context. There's high emotional language within it. But you're essentially sad fishing. You're putting out a sad post or an emotional post that's fishing for likes or reactions.
And is that, do you think, partly because of in this social media era, the filters have, you know, been removed or they're certainly lessened? So, you know, people have this direct connection, or when they're posting, maybe they're not realizing they're sending out signals, or they maybe perhaps they are.
It's multi-layered,
yeah.
Right? So if I tell you a little bit of a dramatic story, you're either going to pay attention or you're going to kind of, yeah, okay, Pori, calm down. But if I put out that story to thousands and thousands of people, there's a high likelihood that I'm going to get some sort of reaction or likes. Now, already there have been a lot of research studies carried out into this, and there's a strong correlation between something like sad fishing, putting that emotional post out into the ether, and an anxious attachment style, or where somebody has, you know, taken a few too many drinks and they will put it out there, and also a strong correlation with loneliness. So they're not getting that.
So it could be sort of a sign for something maybe deeper and more profound happening for that person. What do you do if you don't want to participate in that drama, or you don't want to be drained by it? Like, I mean, how do you put up those boundaries, or do you have to remove yourself from the conversation?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Mm. Particularly where at this time of year, a lot of our time is filled with obligations as well. Like, we have to visit certain people and we enjoy those visits, but there may be elements of their personality that just rub us up the wrong way. They can be family and they can be friends. They can be friends of friends. I love the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer, which is,
God grant me
the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change those things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that, I think, is one of the key elixirs when it comes to knowing how we can interact with somebody who's very, very dramatic. We can't necessarily change the way that they're going to phrase a story or tell a story or gossip.
Do you challenge them on it?
You can. It's completely, I suppose, dependent upon your relationship with the person and what you want. Lots of conflict emerges over Christmas because of those challenges.
A lot of people holding their tongues
and really biting their tongues and waiting for that. And it depends upon that relationship that you have with the person. Like, I think of those large family gatherings. You know, did you ever see The Bear? There's that famous episode where there's just adrenaline running through your veins the entire way through because of the tension that's there. Now, in that context, the culture in that family is you don't hold your tongue, you just let it out. There can be others where it's very passive aggressive, where it's unhealthy, where people don't say the things that they want to say, but they remain within that. I think when you're looking at the Serenity Prayer and somebody who is overly dramatic, or they're gossiping and you just don't like it, or they're rubbing you up the wrong way, the thing that you can control, Dervil, is yourself.
And your response.
Is your own response, you know? And those are the types of things that we can do. But responding to it in a healthy way that's not going to have us stressed or passive aggressive or grinding our teeth or biting our tongue is...
Well, I think, Pádraig Walsh, that there's a little bit of advice for people if they're trying to get through it to New Year's Day, at least to perhaps have a little glance at the Serenity Prayer. It's a fascinating discussion and one I wish I had lots more time for. But for now, Pádraig Walsh, behavioural psychologist, thanks for coming in for the gossip, or was it just a little bit of drama? Who knows? We're going to take a very quick break.